Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson in Outreach Ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, as you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. As the love around here is bound to make it fall, head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Romans and will be continuing today with part one of Rejoicing in God. So let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verse 11, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
As we came into the fifth chapter, we're coming out of that whole wonderful section on justification. And as we came into the fifth chapter, we're really looking at now the blessings that proceed from justification. And we were told there in verse 1, therefore, having been justified through faith, we have now peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access into this grace because of him, this endless supply of grace that we talked about, that we stand in, that we have that because of our justification. And then Paul said, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And so we talked about how that's a reference to heaven. We rejoice in the certainty that we have heaven in our future, the glory of God, that glorified state. But then Paul went on to say, and not only that, but we also rejoice in tribulation. And so we looked at the subject of tribulation and how God is using tribulation to prepare us for eternity. And so now as we come to verse 11, he says once again, and not only that, here he says, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. So, Paul says we rejoice in God himself. Do we know what that means experientially? To just rejoice in God. How often do we find ourselves just simply rejoicing in God for who he is? You know, just putting everything else aside, are we finding ourselves just filled up with joy in the person of God? Just to know that there is a God and to know who this God is. And of course, then to know that I've been, you know, saved by this God. But do we? How often do we find ourselves? Do we know how to be content in God alone? Just content in the Lord. Do we know how to be content in God alone? I think sometimes there's so many other things that we're looking for. They're maybe connected to God, but we're looking for those things for our contentment. And yet, it's possible and desirable to be content in God alone, or fulfilled in God alone, or satisfied with God alone. Are we like that? Or are we looking for our contentment, our fulfillment, or our satisfaction through something else? Again, it might even be stuff connected to God, but yet it's not necessarily God himself. Now, I must confess that in this area, I quite often fail. I have to admit it. And I get challenged in this area many times because I find myself failing to rejoice because of some circumstance or situation that isn't going the way that I hoped it would go or the way that I think it should go. And in those times, the Lord will often challenge me with the reminder that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That He ought to be enough. That those things that I'm sort of looking for to bring the fulfillment or the contentment or satisfaction, that those aren't really the things that I need. So you see, this is a common struggle for God's people. We subtly, and I think unintentionally, we sort of replace God with the things of God, the blessings of God. Those are all wonderful things, but they're not to become substitutes for God. I was talking to a friend of mine today who's a pastor. I guess we must have gotten on to the subject of rejoicing in God or something, because he said, I find myself a lot more interested in what God is doing through me than what God is trying to do in me. And I thought, yeah, I'm right there with you. I understand that. I know that. So often, that's where I find myself. I'm thinking more about the things that God's doing through me, and God's saying, well, that's fine, but listen, I want to do stuff in you. I want to, you know, meet with you. One of the things that happens in the ministry, I'll just let you guys know that there are hazards to this occupation of being ministers of the gospel. One of the hazards, believe it or not, is to have just kind of a love and devotion and passion for the ministry to sort of eclipse your love, devotion, and passion for the Lord. It happens. And we've got to snap out of it, and we've got to get back and realize what's really going on. But it's a fairly common thing for pastors and people in church leadership and people in ministry to just get so in love with the things of the ministry that Jesus kind of sometimes gets pushed into the background. And I'll admit, I've been in many meetings and, you know, spent lots of times with guys who are pastors, and we've talked extensively about the ministry and about the things we're doing for God and the things we want to do for God and all of this kind of stuff. And then, you know, sometime in the midst of that, you suddenly think, well, have we even just stopped to just worship the Lord or to just express things to Him on a personal level? You know, we're so into the work of God that we sometimes neglect the worship of God. This seems like it's what happened with the Ephesian church. Revelation chapter 2, remember Jesus writes those seven letters to the seven churches. He starts with the church of Ephesus. And as he, you know, begins commending that church, there were a lot of great things going on in the church of Ephesus. They were working hard, they were diligent, they were zealous to get the gospel out, they loved the gospel, they were orthodox in their belief, they contended for the faith. You know, when you look at the things that he commended them for, you just think, wow, this was a great church in Ephesus, like a lot of churches today. Jesus said, but I have one thing against you. And what was that one thing? You have left your first love. So they did as a church the kind of thing that I'm talking about here. We can all do it. We can have our heart set on the things of God, but we're missing the connection with God that He wants, that He sent Jesus to reconcile us to Himself in order that we might have. And of course, it's the thing that we absolutely need. Remember, Paul said that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. I might not be able to rejoice in a lot of my circumstances, Sometimes in ministry, there's very challenging things. I can't rejoice in a lot of that stuff. But, you know, the wonderful thing is God's always the same. He never changes. And so finding our joy in him, our contentment, our satisfaction. So how do we learn to rejoice in the Lord? How do we move toward that place like the psalmist was talking about when he said this, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." See what he's saying? He said, one thing. This is the one thing more than anything else I want. I want to be there just beholding the beauty of the Lord. Or as he would say in another psalm, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. Listen to this. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So how do we get to that kind of a place? Or how do we move more toward this thing that Paul's talking about here in Romans 5:11, where we're rejoicing in God? We're rejoicing in God, and therefore, whatever's going on around us, it doesn't faze us necessarily, or it's not the thing that we're taken up with or burdened down by. It's so easy to get distracted, isn't it? And so easy to get burdened down by things that many times there are things we don't have any control over. As I've shared before, when I spend too much time, you know, watching the news or reading news reports or whatever, I get sucked into that whole world, and then I feel like I've got to do something about this. I've got to rectify this situation, or I've got to intervene, or, you know, of course I can't do any of that, but I start thinking about that. And then I start getting distracted. So as I came in here to worship the Lord, instead of worshiping the Lord, in my mind, I'm thinking about what's going on in Madison, Wisconsin. I've never been to Madison, Wisconsin. I really don't care about what's going on. But I was concerned. And then I was thinking about that other article I read and that other video I watched. And I don't want to be doing this. I want to be rejoicing. I want to talk about rejoicing in you. I want to do it right now. I don't want to be distracted by all of this stuff. But it happens to us. So how do we move in that direction? Well, I think it all comes down to getting a clearer picture of God. For it is when we see him for who he truly is, we can't help but rejoice in him and worship him. So it all comes down to just getting a clearer picture, a better understanding that will lead to a deeper devotion and a greater experience. You know, if you think about this, to put it all in perspective, God is, of course, the ultimate. He's the greatest. He's the most glorious being. And all of time and everything else is running toward eternity. And it's all going to culminate in the kingdom of God coming, the Son of God establishing his throne, God being all and in all. I mean, that's where it's all headed, right? And we've got this opportunity right now, before that all, you know, is finalized, we've got this opportunity now to meet with this God and encounter this God and get to know this God and fellowship with him and experience him. But here's my point. How much time do we give to that? How is it that we've got so many other things that we deem important to the point of negligence when it comes to God? If we could just get the right perspective of who God really is and, you know, where everything's going, think it would help us to just see everything else in its proper light and be able to say, you know, that's fine for what it is, but, you know, I don't want to spend my life to that. Or that's fine for what it is, but, you know, right now I've got another priority. I've got something else I've got to do. I've got something more important. I've got something much greater to do. I got to seek the Lord. I got to meet with God. So what do we do? Well, what we need to do is we need to exercise ourselves to meditating upon the person of God and the works of God, to meditating upon it, and then to talking about it, and to then expressing to God our love through praise and thanksgiving and those kinds of things. So let's look at a few things here. Starting with meditation on God's power. To meditate on God's power. This is a way to get everything in perspective. It's a way to really begin to, you know, to some degree comprehend God better, but just to meditate on his power. How do we meditate on the power of God? Well, one of the ways that we can do it is by observation of his creation. We tend to be somewhat negligent about that today, especially those of us, you know, who live in cities and are, you know, preoccupied with so much of man's creation and, you know, those kinds of things. We don't take the time to really sit down and think things through, do we? But just to sit down and think about the power of God, think about it in the sense of the universe that we live in. Think about it in the sense of the solar system that we're in. Think about it in the sense of the planet that we live on. There is something to just, you know, getting a little bit of an understanding of the universe that we live in and the intricacies of it, and you know, the solar system and the planet that we live on, and the just the amazing aspects of all of this. So meditation on nature with the view of glorifying God as we observe nature and as we observe his power in nature, that's one of the ways to get a better understanding of who God is. And when we start to get a little bit of a grasp of this, it becomes mind-boggling. We read the psalm on Sunday morning, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse, the firmament, shows his handiwork." And you know, you hear all of these numbers about the size of the universe and the numbers of stars, and then you hear about the size of some of these stars that, in, you know, carve out the middle of a certain star and you can stick our entire solar system in the middle of it with plenty of room to spare. And you know, when you start getting an idea of the vastness of this thing, and then you bring it back to, wow, God created this. And then you start to think, what kind of a God creates a universe like this? A universe that is just, it's beyond our ability to grasp it. That's a great God. That's a glorious God. And we're told about this God that he actually holds this universe in the span of his hand. So, you know, the universe is great. It's vast. It's unfathomable from the human standpoint. But to God, it's just a matter of a few, you know, what we would see as a few inches. So when I start to get a hold of this a little bit, I just start to think, wow, God is, he's so far beyond anything that I really could comprehend. I remember a few years ago, I was watching the little video called The Privileged Planet. If you've never seen that, that would be a great way to kind of get you going in what we're talking about here. But I was watching The Privileged Planet put out by the Discovery Institute, the guys up in Seattle, intelligent design guys. And The Privileged Planet, you know, it's looking at the universe and the galaxy and then the solar system and then coming down to Earth and just showing how Earth is unique. As far as anybody knows, there's no place like Earth. There's a lot of theories about, you know, multiple universes and things like that, multiverses, but those are just theories of people who don't want to, you know, they just ways to try to get around the obvious. So, you know, so I'm watching this thing, and as I'm watching it, I'm just starting to get this sense of how great God is. And I have to confess, there was a moment where it became disturbing to me. It's like, wait a second. This is too much. It was a little bit like, you know, maybe Job felt, or Daniel, or one of them, where, you know, coming into that encounter with God, what do? They fell down as dead. I didn't fall down as dead, but I was disturbed that this God who created everything, that this God loves me. I'm so glad. Because somebody who could create this, to think that he might not be benevolent, that's a frightening thought. So we meditate on God's power, but then we meditate on God's wisdom. And we see his wisdom in, again, the creation, but coming more specifically to here on the earth. It's so easy for us, isn't it, to just sort of take so much for granted. It's easy for us to take vegetation, the trees, and all of that stuff. You know, oh, that's a tree. You know, so what? Go live in a desert for a while, and then you'll know why trees are great. But, you know, to actually think about it, to find out a little bit about this photosynthesis thing and, you know, how the plants, you know, draw in the oxygen. And, you know, we don't really think about it, but these plants are actually helping us live by putting off the oxygen that we need. But then, you know, just looking into some of the details of those kinds of things, or, you know, looking more specifically at the animals, whether they be your pets or, you know, other kinds of animals. And, you know, looking at the different types of birds. And the other day as I was running along, there were probably like 50 pelicans all in a perfect line, just, you know, cruising along. And I thought, now who told them to line up like that, you know? How do they know to do that? But, you know, again, it's like stuff that you just sort of take for granted, but then you start looking at it and you think, wow, that is amazing. And all of these kinds of life forms and things. But you see, as we look at them and as we stop for a minute and we pause and we go, wait a second, God made that thing. The poor evolutionist. I mean, these guys are destined to live in concrete buildings, you know? It's just, that's where it's all going to end up. Because for them, all of this beauty and everything else, all it was just an accident anyway. But no, you look at it and you see, no, God made this and all of this intricacy. And all of this fine detail and all of this, you know, just amazing colors and all of these things is fascinating. And then, of course, the wisdom just in ourselves. You know, we ourselves are, you know, as the scripture says, fearfully and wonderfully made. And so, you know, maybe you're like me and you're not, you know, you just didn't do all that well sitting in the science class. Don't let that discourage you. There's lots of wonderful things to glean, but we do need to take a little bit of time and just see some of what's really there just under the surface. You know, we take for granted our vision. I see you, you see me. We just, yeah, of course, we see each other. But do we know how this is working, this mechanism? How it is that we see each other? How it is that I can differentiate between all of these various shades, colors, and all of this kind of stuff? You know, these are the kinds of things that we would do well to stop and ponder. How it is that you can hear me right now, how it is that I can hear myself, how it is that the sound, you know, is going forth, the sound waves, and then, you know, coming in through the ear canal and this whole thing that's happening there, and then my brain's reading your brain's reading. You see, this is the stuff that God did. And this is the stuff that will help us if we just would take the time to stop and ponder it, This is the stuff that will help us to realize the greatness of our God and will develop in us, I think, a swifter tendency toward rejoicing and toward worshiping.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Romans in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part two of Rejoicing in God. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Rejoicing in God. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0123. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson, also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.